Including your background noise. Good morning, and I would like to bring in, first of all, Mr. Harris to say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning. And, yes, I can hear everyone. I would like to bring in Tanisha Gardner. Good morning.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
All right. Great. Good morning, Tanisha. And I want to remind everybody to turn down their background noise. We can hear, I can hear you. Most definitely, I'd like to say good morning to the real deal, Mr. Justin Hill. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Definitely, we can hear you, Justin. And I'd like to bring in our next student host, which is Walter Pierce. Walter, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. And most definitely, here's a question that you like to ask. Yeah, I'm going to answer it for you. The Black Librarian, Mr. Davis, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. It's nice outside.
Beautiful.
Enjoying the sun.
Yeah, well, you know, this particular show is about not only being nice on the outside, but shaping up yourself on the inside. Because, yes, you too can earn six figures and strive to become a billionaire, right? We're not happy with the mill. We want the bill. And with that being said, I'd like to say to everyone, Quest Youth Radio presents another segment and another edition of student hosts Justin Hill and Walter Pierce as they review history, definitions, and music. Now, directly related to the diaspora in the form of diamonds, definitions, and curtains. You see, music is like poetry and has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of you, Quest listeners, and those who are about to become Quest listenership, now to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Without any further ado and hesitation, I turn it over to you, our first student host presenter, Mr. Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. You see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, my diamond for this week is on Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. Now, this diamond is important mainly for the reason that he is from the area, a.k.a. Jersey City, New Jersey. So, you know, we had to do him for this week. And you see, he is the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Dennis Kimbrough was born December 29th, 1950, in Jersey City, New Jersey. In 1972, he received his bachelor's and master's degree from the University of Oklahoma. He later earned his PhD in political science at Northwestern University, researching wealth and poverty in underdeveloped countries. Kimbrough wrote Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, as an updating and extension of the work of Napoleon Hill, who wrote the 1937 bestseller, Think and Grow Rich, after researching and practices of highly successful persons, and who left at his death an unfinished manuscript directed towards African Americans. Kimbrough was commissioned by the Napoleon Hill Foundation to publish the manuscript. Published in 1991, Kimbrough and Hill's book became a number one bestseller. Clients of Kimbrough's lectures included General Motors, Walt Disney, Frito-Lays, and Wells Fargo. He has also appeared on television shows, including Today and CNN's Larry King Live, and in publications including Success, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, and USA Today. He is listed in Who's in Black America, a recipient of Dale Carnegie's Achievement Award, and a past director of the Center of Entrepreneurship at Clark Atlanta University. In addition, in 1996, he served as one of the 8 national judges for the prestigious Ernest & Young USA Today Entrepreneur of the Year, held in Palm Springs, California. In 2005, Kimbrough's second edition of What Keeps Me Standing, A Black Grandmother's Guide to Peace, Hope, and Inspiration was released. He is married, lives in Atlanta, and is the father of 3 daughters. And that concludes my segment on Dennis Kimbrough, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough at that. Now, he's made a lot of great moves during his life, during his career, you could say. Being a part of USA Today, being a part of these big national TV corporations being presented on there, getting multiple awards, and really doing research and finding out, you know, about the wealth and poverty all across the world. You know, he's done a lot of great work in his career, and I'm happy that I am able to present y'all somebody who is also from the area, again, Jersey City, New Jersey. So I thank you for listening. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
sound of our featured artist for today, which is Mr. Lewis, Mr. Ramsey Lewis. But that being said, I want to turn it back over to our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Take it away. And Walter. Okay, so while we're waiting for Walter, we can chop it up, which wasn't the plan, but we will. Walter should be coming back in just a moment and presenting his definition on the word capitalism. But right now, I want to go to Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis, good morning again.
Good morning.
And
good morning.
Yeah, good morning, and I can hear you, right? What do you know about Dr. Dennis Kimbrough?
Dennis Kimbrough is an author. I read his book numerous times. In addition to reading his book, I read Napoleon Hill's book as well. Very inspirational stories in his book, great affirmations in terms of being able to move forward with your life, in sense of being very optimistic. Kudos to Dr. Kimbrough. He pretty much kept me on point. A lot of my peers, we all collectively read that book as part of our own little internal study group to be able to move forward in terms of going to college and doing some other things that we wanted to do. So he pretty much gave me a great entrepreneurial outlook on life and kept me on point. That book was a very important book. I used to keep the book in my book bag all the time. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for his work and what he has done in terms of changing the dynamics of just thinking differently about entrepreneurship and believing that you can actually move forward and do it.
Okay. Sounds like, Walter, are you ready?
Yes, I am here. And for my next segment, you know, this segment provides the listeners with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it for us. And my definition for this week is on capitalism. And capitalism is an economic or political system in which a country's trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit rather than by the state. Now, of course, when we talk about America, you know, we're a capitalist country. You know, that's basically what this country is controlled on, by capitalists. You know, people into the country, people, you know, growing up and going into business, starting their own business, having their trades, really, that's what makes the country thrive. And that is one of the benefits, you could say, about living in America is it's a very wide open field for business for people to get into. You know, there's a lot of different needs, necessities that people need. Of course, because that's a necessity, but there's a lot of different things that you could go into that you could provide a service to or provide a product that would be beneficial for another person because, you know, we're constantly innovating each and every day. We're constantly having new things being created, you know, in order to be used. There's now a lot of different ways to do things that we used to do in the past, you know, probably when we're talking about either we're talking about farming or we're talking about just communicating with other people. There's now many different ways to do all of that, and there's a lot of different prototypes and things you can make in order to service that. So, you know, it's a very wide open field for that, and the only thing is, of course, since it's very wide open, it's a lot of competition, and the competitiveness in the field of business is very strong. You know, in order for your product to thrive, you have to have something that is actually unique. You can't just try to copy what somebody else made and expect your product to grow because that's not what's going to happen. You have to solve a problem or have something which, you know, some people probably never really seen before, and they could go to you and be like, oh, that's really what I need. That's for my benefit, so I'm going to get your product. So, you know, that's really what we talk about when we talk about capitalism and today. You know, it's a very good thing that we're allowed to, you know, create our own business and provide services and make our own money doing that rather than working for somebody. So besides that, I thank you for listening. This is Schooner host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. Now, before we go back to another song, I want to go to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, is there a negative connotation in the black community about capitalism and living in America?
Yeah, well, and I guess if we look at the real history of capitalism in America, it was based on slavery. Because the first commodity on the Wall Street were slaves. And that's how the United States got to build their capital for their country with 250 years of free labor. So, you know, it's not that the actual practice of capitalism is a negative thing, but capitalism is only important to people who don't have resources. You know, you get to use other people's resources to gain your own wealth. And, you know, and because we don't look at it that way, and we thinking that's the only way for us to succeed, that we look at things differently than we maybe we should. And if we're going to use it to our advantage. Don't use it for other people's advantage. You use it for our advantage.
Okay. Now, you know, the etymology and the Latin derivative of the word capitalism, and I want to go back to Mr. Davis, right? The Latin definition has to do with cap, which is the top, right? Could you elaborate on the origins of the word capitalism? Mr. Davis, and I do realize I'm putting you in the spot.
Well, that's cool. If we go into the whole idea of capitalism, and we can get into the word as well, we have to look at Adam and examine Adam Smith's book in terms of Wealth of Nations, and that whole idea of being able to create a division of labor to be able to maximize and capitalize off whatever commodity you're trying to actually move forward. And capitalism was given birth in the beginning from slavery. That's something that nobody can dispute. Because in as far back as 1832, I think Andrew Jackson says, the greatest amount of the graduated wages in this country was because of the fact that the slaves were working for no money at all. So the whole idea of being on top and having a subordinate is the idea of capitalism. Somebody has to be on top, and there's a group of people that have to be on the bottom, a mass amount of people that have to be on the bottom, opposed to the other different economic philosophical systems of socialism, in other systems that exist. And when we really look at being at the top, although the collective of people look at the economic system from a capitalistic perspective, those people who are at the top practice what's called socialism, because they're able to, because they're on the same economic level, they can exchange on a level whereby they can actually say, well, I have this, you have that. And they're talking on a level. So whenever you have a Rockefeller or you have any other major person that controls, they're going to talk on a different level. They're going to exchange. So on their level, it's from a socialistic perspective. But from our level, we see it as a capitalistic perspective. So there's a lot of isms that exist. But at the end of the day, those who are at the top will stay at the top. And then you're going to have the people at the bottom. Of the question is, are we going to have another Bolshevik revolution? Is there going to be another revolution based on this capitalistic system? Because you can't have people way at the top and a mass of people at the bottom who can't benefit. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So now it's time for our next segment, which is going to be curtain. You see, many recording artists have grown rich from their work and benefited from the community. But this particular segment, I'm so proud to mention, even in public around other people, that this is a segment where we talk about a musical artist and what they've done behind the curtains of the stage to enhance and help the community from which they come from. Without any further ado, take it away, Mr. Walter Pierce.
Thank you. And my curtain for this week is on, the jazz night today, Colin. And, you know, this is somebody that I was recently just found out about. His name is Ramsey Lewis. Now, throughout his luxurious career, Lewis, who is an NEA jazz master, has also joined forces with countless other artists to create new and innovative music. In 1984, he collaborated with Nancy Wilson on The Two of Us. In 1988, he recorded with London's orchestra for the album A Classic Encounter. And in 1989, Lewis and Dr. Billy Taylor cut a set of piano duets in We Meet Again. In 1995, Lewis launched the side project Urban Nights, in which he collaborated with a handful of successful crossover jazz stars, including Grover Washington Jr., and Dave Knox. In 1997, Lewis added a disc jockey to his resume, hosting a popular show on Chicago's FM network that ran into 2009.
After
that, you know, he's continued to work on more albums and music as well. But, you know, somebody like Lewis has actually been a part of great musical songs. You know, for an artist to have a great song, they need some great instrumentals and background music to it. You can't have, you know, good lyrics and all that, but then a bad instrumental to go along with it. People won't like it. But having a good instrumental and being able to make the song even better with the beat, you know, shows the greatness that you have. And that's what Ramsey Lewis has done with the multiple songs and hits that he has been a part of with his music and his piano and all of that. So he's also, again, done work with the urban community, making sure he gives back to the people who gave to him. That is also something that is great. Besides that, that's what I have for Ramsey Lewis. Again, I thank you for listening. This is through the host, Walter Pierce, on 89.5 WSOU.
that song just play all the way out. The soulful sounds and jazz melodic sounds of Ramsey Lewis. Are you kidding? Sun Goddess? Yeah, I'm sure everybody will reflect the same thing. Without me talking any further, right, I'll let Mr. Harris, when we come back after this next segment, to elaborate on Ramsey Lewis. But right now, I'd like to bring up our next student host, the real deal, Justin Hill. Good morning, Justin. Take it away.
Good morning, everybody. This is student host Justin Hill on WSOU. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and look down to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Reginald F. Lewis. He was born December 7th, 1942, in Baltimore, Maryland. He was an American businessman. He was one of the richest Black American men in the 1980s and the first Black American to build a billion-dollar company, TLC Beaches International Holdings, Inc. He died in January 19, 1993, at the age of 50 in New York City. In 1987, Lewis established the Reginald F. Lewis Foundation, which funded grants of approximately $10 million to various nonprofit programs and organizations while he was alive. His first major grant was an unsolicited $1 million to Harvard University in 1988. The federal government matched the grant, making the gift $2 million, which was used to fund an endowment for scholarships, fellowships. In 1992, Lewis donated $3 million to Harvard Law School, the largest grant at the time in the school's history. The school renamed its International Law Center the Reginald F. Lewis International Law Center. The first major facility at Harvard named in honor of an African American. While alive, Lewis made known his desire to support a museum of African American culture. In 2005, the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture opened in Baltimore with the support of a $5 million grant from his foundation. It is the East Coast's largest African-American museum of copying and 82,000 square foot facility with permanent and special exhibition space, interactive learning environments, auditorium, research center, oral history recording studio, museum shop, cafe, classrooms, meeting rooms, and the museum is also a Smithsonian affiliate. And the reason why I chose Reginald Lewis was because, like I said in my segment, he was the richest African American. And he has donated so much money to Harvard University, and he has also made an African American museum. And that concludes my segment on diamonds. I thank God for listening to Sudo Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay, Justin, we're going to start chopping this. Dennis Kimbrough and Reginald F. Lewis, there's enough to be chopped up. First of all, if you want to open doors, because one of the things that stuck out in your segment was the endowment and donations from his foundation of Mr. Lewis. And the thing that got me first was, well, why wouldn't he donate money to an historical black college or university? And then as I thought about it, I said to myself, and I'll come to Tanisha to elaborate, if you can, if you'd like to. If you want to get in the door, then maybe you just buy the door and you have carte blanche as to who comes through that door. So universities like Harvard, for example, you have created a space for fellowship and foundation money so that others of your like can enter into these colleges and universities and be successful. And that is just a way of just passing off the mantle. Tanisha, what do you think? What comment or statement would you like to add as it pertains to Mr. Lewis?
It's so funny because I was just watching his biography. So please don't misquote me. You could definitely look it up on YouTube. Basically, his wife was telling the story of how he started his journey. And the reason why he ended up going to Harvard is because I believe before – I remember the institution that he was previously in, and they had a program where they was only – I believe they was only accepting, I believe, like six students, and he was considered the sixth one. But out of the five, it was, I believe it was only for sophomores and juniors, and the program was for them to be the first African-Americans to be able to go to Harvard. And he was the first one – but even though he was a senior, he was the first one to be able to finish the program because he had good grades, and he was the first person to actually be able to get a law degree without be able to take the bar or the admissions test. So that's why he donated the money to Harvard to open up more doors for more African Americans to come in.
Okay. All right. Mr. Davis, I want to bring you back on. Have you ever heard of Mr. Lewis, Mr. Reginald F. Lewis?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, talk about it. I can hear you.
Yeah, I heard of Reginald Lewis. I heard, I read the book. I read his book several different times. There was a study group around Reginald Lewis's book. Great inspiration, and there are certain parts of his life that was interesting in terms of when he was actually selling newspapers and also working on the football team. His sense of discipline, his sense of being able to be very professional. The family structure was really, really on point in terms of making sure that he moves forward, and he had a strong sense of will and discipline and a great sense of professionalism throughout his whole entire life, even in dealing with the TLC Beatrice Foods deal. When he flew out the country to make sure the deal went through, when he closed the deal with maybe about 80 different lawyers on a multi, it was $980 million. He instantly became the first billionaire. One of the interesting things that strikes me about him is that when he came back into the city to actually get a cab in New York, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't, the cab didn't pick him up because he was, cab driver did not know, he probably didn't read the newspapers, he didn't even know that he cared to pick him up. And despite him being the first black billionaire, cab driver didn't pick him up because of the color of his skin. That's something that troubled him because of the fact that he did everything he needed to do to climb the social ladder, exceeded the expectations beyond, and still wasn't able to get picked up by a cab driver. because he was black.
You know, we talk about, I've spoken about, as I continue to, you know, self-teach myself about certain things in the area of business. One of the, well, three of the most important things right off the top is self-sabotaging yourself, having self-doubt, and having a good, positive self-image of yourself. But when you have outside entities like, you know, not being allowed to, you know, not being able to get a cab in New York City, right, because of the color of your skin, these are outside forces that work against what you're trying to build on the inside so that you can become, so you can have a high self-image of yourself, live without self-doubt, and so and not you know, sabotage yourself, you know. So it's just so important for us to work on the inner side of ourselves to in order to become successful, you know. So I know I said I wanted you to speak about Ramsey Lewis, but we can get back to Ramsey in just a minute. But, Mr. Harris, I want to bring you on and have you elaborate on just Dennis Kimbrough and Reginald F. Lewis.
Yeah, well, first thing, both of these brothers had a lot in common where they didn't let the outside distractions that you're talking about stop them from moving in places that they felt like they wanted to be. And, you know, and it's important that we look at things like that and follow their blueprint, because people don't just make things happen just out of nothing. They have a plan. They stick to it, regardless of anybody else, or what they have to say about it, or what kind of time frame other people have. They stick to what they feel is going to help them the most. And again, like you were saying, we have to stop doubting ourselves, because we all have the same type of genius that these folks have, but what we don't have is the self-confidence to move on it. And these are things that we have to learn as adults, not just teach our kids that, but as adults, we have to understand that there's a lot more to so-called being successful than just following everybody else's rules. Sometimes you got to make your own rules and then stick to them. And both of these brothers did just that.
Okay. And now, with that being said, we're going to continue on with our student host in Hill so that he can finish what he started with his next segment on definition. Take it away, Justin.
Welcome back, everybody. This is student host Justin Hill, and it is time for my definition segment. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on the word determination. And determination is a positive emotional feeling that involves persevering towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. Determination occurs prior to goal and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goal. Research suggests that people consider determination to be an emotion. In other words, determination is not just a state, but rather an affective state. The philosophy and the literature, researchers have studied determination under other terms, including challenge. This may explain one reason for the relative lack of research on determination compared to other positive emotions.
in the field of philosophy, emotional research is heavily focused on negative emotions and the action, the tendencies that they encourage. And the reason why I chose determination is because determination is like a positive feeling, and that's it for my definition segment. Again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSLU.
Justin, great job. And your definition of determination, Kuji Kajalia, right, is, you know, self-determination is right on time. As we round up with our last 6 minutes to our program, I would like for the panel to chime in. And guys, listen, I need you to talk to me about what actually touches you about Dennis Kimbrough and Reginald F. Lewis. What inspires you? What drives you? What's inside of you? I would like for each and every one of you to share. And I'm going to start with Mr. Harris, because I always like to pick on him. Okay, that's a joke. But Mr. Harris, please elaborate and tell us your feelings. What drives you, and how do these gentlemen inspire you?
Yeah, well, they inspire me in a way that shows that no matter what the obstacles that I see in my life, that as long as I understand that there's a plan that I had set involved and follow that plan to the end, that you can achieve things that most people only talk about. And they actually did it, you know, to the point of, you know, monetary gain to social gain, you know, and like you said, opening up the doors for other folks that's going to be coming behind them. They look at themselves and they look toward the future for doing things and was able to achieve, you know, if that motivates me as being an educator, I kind of do the same thing, hopefully, you know, just to see that it can be better. But you have to make it better. Okay. It's not going to get better on its own.
That's right. Don't have no self-doubt, because we're pulling for you, Mr. Harris, right? And we know that you're trying to do the best that you can for yourself and also for your students as well, because your heart is in the right place. And I know that for a fact, right? Now, I'm going to go to Mr. Davis, our Black librarian. And you spoke about having study groups and having a Dennis Kimbrough's book inside your book bag every day. What was the reason for that? What was it about Dennis Kimbrough, and what is it about Reginald F. Lewis that touches you and gives you the drive that you need to move forward?
Quick.
Yeah, Mr. Davis, I can hear you. So just come on and speak up.
All right.
Mr. Davis, I hope you don't have your muted yourself out there.
Right.
We're going to go. Are you there? We're going to go straight to Tanisha. Tanisha, same question.
What I get from it is definitely stay focused and plan your work and work your plan.
Just that simple. Okay. We'll take it. Mr. Davis, are you there? Okay. I'm going to go to our student host. And is there anything that has touched you by hearing about Dennis Kimbrough, which was presented by Walter and Reginald, and your definition of determination? What is there anything that stands out that inspires or motivates or encourages you Justin?
What encourages me is that Reginald Lewis donated money to a college, and Dr. Dennis, he's like an important man to some people.
Okay. Yeah, he's an important man to a lot of people, including myself. Finding out about him was inspired. Mr. Davis, are you there? Okay. Now, was there anything that Walter left out about Ramsey Lewis, Mr. Harris?
Well, not much, but, but he was like one of the first ones to have a TV show that was based on jazz, on the BET network. And also, his original band had two people in it that were, when he left, started their own band called Young Holt Unlimited. And, and that was the Soulful Strut. And I don't know if you remember that cut. It was a little before my time, so I'm sure it's before your time. He started out to be a classical concert pianist at 4 years old. He was being trained to do that, but his father was bringing home albums by Art Tatum, Oscar Peterson, and it kind of, by the time he became a teenager, he started leaning more toward the jazz flavor and kind of stayed there. But innovation was part of his thing. Collaboration with other artists was a big thing with him. Because most people who heard Sun Goddess swore that was an Earth, Wind & Fire record. But that was actually Ramsey Lewis with a couple of people from Earth, Wind & Fire on the album.
Okay.
He was about collaboration.
Okay. All right. So that pretty much does it for this particular edition and episode of Quest Youth Radio. But before we go away, right, I want to say to everyone who actually has the opportunity to listen to this program that each and every one of us possess a God-given talent, one that has been given to us inside, and we just need to tap into it. It's said that once a person finds something that they would do for free without any money, right, they have found a job and a career for life, right? So with that being said, let that hopefully encourage and motivate you to be determined to find your God-given talent and be all that you can be so that you can add your name to the successful people who have made an integral difference in our society today. And that being said, of course, I had the last song all queued up, and because we've actually gone over, there it is. Mr. Davis, are you there? Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I had asked a question, and you weren't with us. So, you talked about having study groups and being and reading Reginald F. Lewis's book and Dennis Kimbrough. So the question was, what inspired you? What encourages you to continue to move forward?
What encourages me is my mother. She said that you ain't going to give up no matter what. And I don't want to hear no excuses about giving up. So I never gave up because of my mother. She instilled it in me as a young child.
Okay.
So
we're going to let that be the last word. And yes, I get it. But we've gone over, right? And without any further ado, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And Justin, please close us out.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations live on 85.5 on the campus of Seton Hall. Quest Youth Radio is the
best youth radio.
The best youth radio, yes indeed. Ramsey Lewis, Hot Dog.